Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Howdy, third hour. What's happening? How's everybody doing today? Tiki and Tierney, comedy from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Found the better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. You notice that, Teak? Every day, 30 seconds, a minute later, sun's still hanging around. Before you know it, it'll be February. Before you know it, it'll be Selection Sunday. Before you know it, it's going to be the Masters. Before you know it, it'll be 2020 football season again. Full circle we spin. So the weather started to change. And really, the weather in the Northeast is insane. Mm. It's been far more windy than I ever recall as a kid.
That's right.
But, it was 70 degrees the other day.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's changed.
Yeah, it's going to be totally 30 changed. Tomorrow. It's 40-something, 49 today.
Yeah, I had the sunroof open driving in today. It was 49, 50 degrees. All right, Teak, we got a chance to chat with, we've had a lot of good interviews today. Ice Cube was with us in the first hour. And obviously, JLC, we connected with him. Terry Francona was phenomenal. And Trevor Bauer will be with us tomorrow here on Tiki and Tierney in studio. You were just telling me that he was doing another interview before, and he basically doubled down on, in essence, as a paraphrase, saying, oh, yeah, Bregman and Altuve, oh, they were hooked up with buzzers.
Exactly. So,
this is going to be interesting
tomorrow. Trevor Bauer's coming in tomorrow. We'll talk to him, obviously, about that and some other things as well regarding this scandal and really what's happening with him as well. I don't know if we're going to get time to do this today. Because we're so heavy with guests and other things that we got to do. But you saw the Kyrie stuff last night. We mentioned it. We teased it. Kyrie, look, I like Kyrie sometimes. Mm-hmm. I've met him a couple of times. Mm-hmm. One time he was great. Another time he was kind of standoffish. And that is what it is. I mean, he doesn't know who the hell I am, so it doesn't even matter really. But I think he's a great, great player. Mm-hmm. But when you start to throw your team unnecessarily under the bus, mm-hmm. You can't help but say, well why? Right? Why do that? He doesn't have to do that. I know he likes to answer questions honestly. Mm-hmm. And in truth, he might be right. Like, his team doesn't have as much talent as he would like, or some of the teams that they're playing. Obviously, KD is not available right now.
Durant ruptures Achilles. You really wasn't playing this year.
I agree.
Jeez.
And you know that this could happen. I mean, Caris LeVert's good, but he's been banged up for a lot of the season already. Joe Harris is a great shooter, but that might be it, right?
Yeah, pretty good rebounder.
But still, he's not making the All-Star team, is my point.
No.
And I love Joe Harris. He's a UVA guy.
I like him, too. I think he's a very good player.
And so
I'm a big fan.
Like, the things that we know about this Nets team are obvious, but you just don't say it. And I keep wondering, like, why do you say it? Like, what's the point of being honest when you know it's only going to hurt you and your standing with your team? It's kind of what happened in Boston, right? And so I can't figure out Kyrie. I can't.
You know what's funny? You say you can't figure out Kyrie Irving, but I think we have figured out Kyrie Irving. By saying that we can't figure him out, I really think we have, because he's given us a lot of evidence, ample evidence, to say he's a horrendous leader. Hmm. He is a terrible leader of a basketball team.
And I think he's a great player. And let's listen to the sound real quick, because there's a point I think that's important to make about him, and where I think not only right now, but the future of his career is. But let's listen to Kyrie from last night after losing
to Philly. It's out there. You know, it's glaring in terms of the pieces that we need in order for us to be at that next level. And I'm going to continue to reiterate it. You know, we're going to do the best with the guys that we have within our locker room now. And, you know, we worry about all the other stuff in terms of moving pieces and everything else as an organization down the line in summer. And, you know, it's just something that we signed up for. We knew what we were coming into in the beginning of the season. Guys are going down left and right for us. You know, GT's out. DJ, you know, got hurt tonight. You know, Wilson's just coming back. And then we have complimentary, you know, young guys as well that have done a great job for the last 3 years. So collectively, I feel like we have great pieces. But obviously, it's pretty glaring that we need, you know, one more piece or two more pieces that will complement myself, KD, DJ, GT, Spence, Karras. You know, we'll see how that evolves.
So here's the problem.
Two more pieces?
So here's the problem. Like, that conversation is a sports radio conversation. Like, you and I should be having that conversation.
Correct.
Like, man, these Nets, they're pretty good.
And I love these conversations.
Right?
They're
great. Look, what they really need, though, is one more shooter or a big man who can defend in the paint. You know, doesn't have to be a scorer, but just got to be floating in there whenever
we have about the Sixers needing
a
shooter.
That's exactly right.
The Lakers needing a sniper.
But for him to have that conversation with the media, it's just odd. Because I think about, like, what's happening in this locker room now is these guys look at him
they're not going to play hard now. They're not going to lay it out for Kyrie. Yeah.
And then when you're 9 for 21 on the
he was six for 21.
6 for 21 on the night.
It's the first thing I tweeted today. This caught my. You said that I see this. The first thing I tweeted this morning.
Yeah.
8:40 in my office. Yeah. I like to start the day with something that gets me going.
And
this got me going.
And so your point, you made it, and I think it's a salient one. That he's not a great leader.
No, he's actually a horrendous leader.
Great player,
yep.
but he needs that guy, whether it's LeBron and for Nets fans.
Or even Horford
for a little bit, yes. But for Nets fans, hope that it's KD when he comes back.
Yeah.
He's that pillar of leadership, and Kyrie could just be Kyrie.
Yeah.
Right? Just he's going to say what he's going to say, but you don't let it be disruptive to the whole like he seems to be doing. And I don't even think he's doing it intentionally.
I don't think there's malice here.
Exactly.
I really don't. There's a difference. I don't think it's a
That's exactly
malicious.
Right. That's exactly right. He's not being mean. He's not like a jerk.
He's being too honest.
That's right.
And here's the thing.
He needs to protect his players.
That's what leaders do.
Yes.
They don't call out an absence of whatever on the roster. They shield the players that they have, and behind closed doors, they knock on the GM's door, or they text them, and they say, hey, Joe, or Mike, or Bill, we need this guy. In this case, it's Marks. All right, he learned nothing from Boston. Mm-mm. That's a little worrisome. And I'm a little perplexed at this for this reason. And I remember, I think you may have been off this one day, but you certainly remember it because you followed the story. His opening press conference for the Nets was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Remember, he was very honest. He self-assessed.
Yes.
He reflected.
Yes.
He pointed the thumb at his chest.
That's absolutely right.
And I gave him a lot of praise. I'm like, man, this is a young man who looked in the mirror. We know he's a great player, and now he's going to try to be that great leader to match that transcendent handle and those incredible offensive gifts. But he's a bad leader because now it's obvious he's learned nothing from the Celtics. You know, and you need to incorporate. I know he won the championship, and you'll never take that away. He stuck the dagger in Golden State's mug when he hit the three. But their trajectory before LeBron went there was on the road to nowhere.
Yeah.
Not once did we ever say, not once, hey, man, you get Kyrie, just, one more good piece, that Cavaliers team's going to jump up to that top tier. They were terrible. They really were terrible.
I know.
And, the awareness is very problematic if I own the Nets or if I run the Nets or if I'm a part of the Nets here. So just to break this down, he goes 6 for 21 last night, all right? His plus minus was minus 29, which was the worst of the day. Listen, everybody has a bad night, but minus 29, all right? The Nets with Kyrie Irving this year are 5-9. The Nets without Kyrie Irving are 13-13. And for some reason, he thought that after a minus 29, 6-for-21 game, he thought that it was wise to go in front of a camera and say, we need better players.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing if you drop 47 and you're 13 for 19 and you stick six threes and you still shouldn't say it.
No.
But you had one of the worst games at any net this season, and then you say it. He's just quirky, he goes to his own beat. And that's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, he's not. It's not that he's not thinking about these other guys, but he's not thinking about the other guys. Because I know, like, I can't say he's a bad teammate, but I just don't think he's aware of his teammates, right? And their feelings.
Yeah, because I think there's a little semantics there. Well, I mean, not caring about their feelings could be construed as being a bad teammate.
Yeah, but
I mean, if you said, man, Tierney, he doesn't care about my feelings, I'm probably not a good host.
But see,
a
bad teammate would be, I'm like intentionally throwing you under the bus. Right, to make you look bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's trying. I don't think he does that. I just don't think he's aware.
But it has the same impact.
Of course it does have the
same. The residue is the same, whether you drop that hammer unintentionally
you're right.
What I mean?
So it's a semantics thing, but it's less about him being a bad guy. Right? Because I don't think he's a bad guy.
No, he's definitely not a bad guy.
I just don't think he's aware.
No, he's not a bad guy.
He's not reading what he's saying and how it's going to affect not only the media that's listening to him, but his teammates.
But hold on, let me challenge on that, because again, go back to his opening press conference with the Nets. For him to say what he said, there was a recognition that he was doing things the wrong way.
It's one thing
to say. So he's not unaware, he just does it again. It's really
I don't. Yeah, I don't get it.
And
I
I'm
really
going to say what I said, which is when Kevin Durant jumped into my timeline. If this was, if he was on the Knicks and this happened, this would be back page stuff, even with the Beltran stuff. Yeah. It would be huge.
Yeah.
But because he plays for the Nets, it kind of blends in a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, for us from a national point of view, he's one of the great players who won a championship and again, has, I think, the sickest handle in the history of the NBA.
I think you're right.
You know?
Now, when KD gets back next year, that will be the conversation. Like, how do they? Because we don't know. We know they're friends.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how they're going to play together. We assume it's going to be great. But how do we know that they're going to work well together?
It
took a little bit for him and LeBron to get right together. When they did, they were amazing.
Yeah.
Because they could just put their heads down and go, look, you're going to score 30, I'm going to score 35. We're going to win this thing by four, right? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe that happens with Kevin Durant. We don't know. But
I think it will, and can I tell you why? Because not every great player, and you can appreciate this as a former player, but not every great player has great aptitude, intelligence relative to their sport. Kevin Durant wakes up, and the first thing he thinks about is basketball.
That's right.
And Kyrie Irving is, I don't want to say he's borderline brilliant. I don't want to give him that much credit, but he's a well-read, smart guy.
But he is.
No, he's a smart dude who knows a lot about a lot, except the shape of the earth. but the point being is that when you have two brilliant basketball minds who happen to be boys, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Now, will they figure it out enough to the point where they win a championship? No, I don't think that they will, and I didn't think that when they signed. First of all, I have to see Durant. Who is Durant? I think he's still going to be 90-ish% of what Durant was, but until I see it, we don't know.
But that is a huge question mark. We don't know. Kevin Durant can get his shot whenever he wants it. Doesn't matter from where or against whom. He's getting a shot.
Talking about Durant.
Durant. Yeah. Kevin Durant is getting his shot. And I'll be honest with you, Kyrie Irving's the same way.
That's true.
It doesn't matter if he has a big on him or, you know, even a long, you know, wing.
He loves that. He's looking at his chops. He can just cross him over.
He can get his shot.
Yeah.
How they work together is going to be really, really interesting, because it could be spectacular.
It could be.
Or it could be disastrous.
I'm not worried about Irving getting a shot. I do worry about Durant getting enough shots, because how do you not get shots when you have somebody on your team who's just incessantly pounding the ball?
Who goes 6 of 29. And Irving does that. 6 of 21.
Ugh. And listen, Sixers are better. Nets have some injuries. Yeah. Although, you know, Embiid didn't play. I mean, so it's not like it was a full-throttle Sixers team. That's not even the point. We're not going to get on the air midweek and break down a Sixers-Nets game. The point is, you know, one of the prized offseason additions when he spurned the bright lights, both did, of the Garden, and surprised a lot of people in the process. He continues to say some things that leave you a little baffled. You know, not looking to denigrate Kyrie. Again, he's a hell of a player, but he's got to tighten up that leadership. It doesn't come naturally, that's for sure. All right, coming up, Miles Sanders. Interesting player for the Eagles. He's really good. They have to tweak a couple things this offseason, but he is a terrific asset moving forward. We'll talk about how their playoff dreams ended short. Obviously, Wentz got hurt with a concussion, and you know, his start to his career, and what's ahead for the Eagles, and also the four remaining teams, what he thinks about, certainly more so from the NFC point of view. So, Miles Sanders of the Eagles joins us next, right here at Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line. It's 855-212-4227, 1-855-212-4CBS, brought to you by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote, GEICO.com, easy. What is not easy is getting a hold of Miles Sanders. That's proving to be a little bit elusive. Matter of fact, we've gone back and forth. Long story short, something came up. Nothing bad, but things happen. I mean, young man's lived his life. It's all good. So we were told that we could either kick it back later in the show, which we don't want to do, or we could just kick it back to another day, which we do want to do. So we'll get Miles on the show at some point very soon. It's all good. We'll get him up. But right now, we'll do a little inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go, D-Cell. What you got?
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
D-Cell saying, I'm not involved in that conversation. Oh, boy, oh, boy.
Oh, behind the scenes.
You know what I'm going to do one day?
Talk back radio.
I'm going to have a little button here. Just got to keep that hidden and record the conversations between you and Samther. Did I hear them all? I want to join in on most of them, too. All right.
But you can't. You got to drive the show.
I got to do reads. I got to do stuff. So just 2 short years ago, John DeFilippo was one of the hotter names in the NFL as a future head coach. However, He's now joined his fourth team in 4 years, so that that star is a little dulled here. Signing on with the Bears as their new quarterback coach after being fired in Minnesota and again in Jacksonville after just one season in each city. So the Bears finished 30th in the NFL in both yards and points per game, while Mitchell Trubisky was in the bottom five in touchdowns, passing yards, and quarterback rating. In or out, DeFilippo can turn Trubisky back into a solid quarterback.
I like Flip. Flip was with the Giants when I was there as an assistant. Good guy. Really good guy. But I'm going to say out of bounds. I think this is above him. Mitch Trubisky is, I think he's a good young man. I think he's got good potential. But I think it stops at potential. I think his ceiling is where we know where it is. And it was his 2018 season when he threw for 3,200 yards and 66% completion percentage. And a robust 7.4 yards per attempt. Now, a lot of that was because of the quick trick-em plays. Like, there was all this motion. Remember, it was motion in the backfield, and guys were, like, scooting around and free. And he was throwing to open wide receivers 15, 20 yards downfield.
Yep.
And that gets figured out. And you got to actually read things. And he reverts back to the Mitch Trubisky that we saw last year, where he was 6.1 yards per attempt. And, you know, same number of yards, but completion percentage down.
What was his percentage last?
63. Which was, it was closer to where he was as a rookie.
Which isn't terrible, by the way.
It's not terrible.
That's fine.
Yeah, but in today's game, it's not good.
No. I mean, Baker Mayfield was sub 60.
Agreed.
I mean,
but Ryan Tannehill was 75.
He throws nine times a game.
Yeah, true. But still, in the playoffs, he's only been 50%, but he hadn't had to be. But my point is, I want to say no, because I think Mitch Trubisky has a ceiling that we've already seen, and I don't know if he can go above it.
Yeah, I would agree with a lot of those sentiments. I think he certainly has a ceiling. I think it's very identifiable because we may have already hit our heads on it. I don't disagree with that. But I'll say in bounds, you know, I guess I'll play the literal game here. When Mike frames a solid quarterback, not a franchise quarterback, we're not an elite quarterback. Yeah. Can it be solid? Yeah.
If you read it that way, you're probably right.
Yeah, well, that's the way it's written.
Yeah, but that's not how I read it. I read it as like...
You don't even have it in front of you. Did you read it?
No, I didn't. I listened to you read it.
Oh, man, I hear you. And I think more people would probably say out of bounds and just hate on Trubisky a little bit. But he's got quick feet. He's got a good size to him. He's not small. Listen, he's never going to be a star. I understand that. But quite frankly, they need to improve. They've got to get him some weapons.
Mm-hmm.
He does not have anything. I mean, if you were to group together, forget about running backs, but if you were to group together the wide receivers and the tight ends, right, of every NFL team, they've got to be bottom third if you rank him in terms of explosion or talent or however you want to frame it. So I think he's limited by what's around him.
Yeah.
I think he also gets in his own head, and I don't know if DeFilippo can exercise that necessarily. But to be solid, yeah, if you threw 66% 2 years ago, you could be solid with the right things around you. I'll say in bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, LaMelo Ball. Boy, remember when we laughed at this? We're like... guy's never going to make the NBA. I mean, when his dad was going bonkers.
He's
going to
be a top five pick.
He's going to be a lot better than Lonzo.
Yeah.
I mean, LaMelo Ball can play, all right? You know, he was one of two high school stars to skip college in Australia, joined former Duke recruit R.J. Hampton, as we know. That's the NBL, which is a man's league for sure. Now, Ball averaged 17, 7, and 8, and was getting better each game, you know, averaging 24, 9, and 10 over his past four. However, Ball hasn't played since late November due to an injury and announced today he's going to shut this down for the rest of the season to prep for the NBA draft. In or out, you are more confident that LaMelo... What's LiAngelo doing, by the way? Who's he playing?
He's managing. He's managing the other balls.
He's retrieving his missed jump shots in practice. You are more confident that LaMelo Ball will be a legit NBA star now than you were before the season.
I'm
going
to say in bounds, BT. Look, remember when we were first looking at him? He was in high school. He was a freshman in high school. He looked like small, and he was like struggling to get like his shot up. And yeah, he had some skills, clearly. He comes from his family. But he just looked, he didn't fit the part. Well, look at him now. He's 6'7". Right, he grew, and he's a good scorer. I think he's got good handles because he was smaller, obviously, when we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
and I think he can develop into a star. He's going to be a top five pick if he gets to the right team and they develop him properly. And you know, his dad doesn't get in the way, which clearly I think his dad has figured out. Let me just keep my ass out of the way.
It's been kind of quiet.
That's right. It's good for my kids that way. That I am convinced he can be a star, not like a superstar, but I think he can be someone that we gravitate towards. In the NBA.
I agree. I agree with you. I was saying bounce here. Right. I'm on one of the websites that I like to use, and right now they've got him projected as the second overall pick to the Warriors.
Yeah,
I mean,
there you go.
So, I mean, that would be that second. Wow.
I got to tell you what, would be great for him with the vets that are there that have champion. If he goes to the Warriors, sit behind probably Clay. And learn how to play defense with Clay, and learn how to shoot and create space,
winning culture, accountability.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I agree. Here's the player comp. That's what I was looking for. Wow, this might be a little ambitious, but I certainly understand what they're getting at. Their player comp is Penny Hardaway.
Really?
Yeah. And anybody who saw Little Penny,
I mean, is he that kind of athlete?
Little Penny,
is he that kind of athlete? I mean,
well, I think it's more about like elusiveness, vision. I mean that uniqueness.
Tall handles. Yeah.
Penny Hardaway. Wow. I mean, if that's the case, I might have to take him first overall.
Tell me.
I don't like the field. And D-Cell is right. You saw the stats before up on the screen. 37.5% field goal percentage. Not 3-point. Field goal overall is a little scary. But he's going against grown men for the first time. Going to body him up. He's still got to get into his man body.
But it's almost like he's in a point guard. 8-7 assists a game.
Well, that's why you get the Penny Hardaway comp. Because he's not a 6-3 point guard. He's 6-8 to 6-7 at this point. He's growing. That is a really, LaMelo Ball is going to be, his name's going to be called very early in the NBA draft. And I remember years ago, as Pops was saying, LaMelo's better than Lonzo. And it looks like Pops was right on that one. This kid's good.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, this weekend, Conor McGregor is back. Makes his much anticipated return to the octagon against Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Cerrone. That's right. Knee is it? Cerrone. That's right. UFC 246 coming up in Vegas. Cerrone, 26-13-0 in his UFC career. Mm. All right. He's got the beard and he's got those beady eyes. He looks like a quiet badass.
Yep.
Who's looking to rip your head off. Now, as we know now, John Jones returns to the UFC in 3 weeks at UFC 247. Greg Hardy, who's off to a 5-2 start. He's going to fight in March, blah, blah, blah. Khabib finally takes on Tony Ferguson. That's going down in April, UFC 249. So, with all that, and Tiki hasn't heard a word that I said, so hopefully he understands what I'm going to ask him here. The string of high-profile fights in 2020 will put the UFC back on the map in the national sporting
landscape. This is a nuanced answer for me, BT. So I did listen because I can hear and talk at the same time. I don't have both of my earplugs in. I just have one IV.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm going to say out of bounds of this, BT. And it's conditional. It's conditional because I only believe that they can get back on the big national stage if this guy, if you're watching us on the tube, CBS Sports Network, Conor McGregor, wins and wins convincingly and gets back that mojo. Like his personality, some show, I can't remember what I was watching. They were showing like all of these interesting like press conferences that he have, and like the fact that he was like kicking at people and going crazy and yelling, like that was interesting. It drove you in to watch him fight. But if he doesn't win, I think it falls a little bit. So I'm going to say out of bounds, but it's conditional. Because if Conor McGregor turns back into the Conor McGregor that we remember when he was like first here, we were scared of him, then I think UFC will be back on the map.
That Conor McGregor's gone. He ain't coming back because Khabib just kicked it out of him. Mm. He did. You know, listen, there's that aura invincibility. I don't care who you are, even from Mike Tyson.
Doesn't he take on a different aura, though, if he wins and he starts taking that step back to regain it? You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess anything's plausible.
Yeah.
But it was a very subdued press conference, which is not what the UFC needs. That's not what sells, especially from Conor's point of view. That's a real radical departure from who he is and what he projects. Is he just trying to, you know, be coy and then come out and just crush you? Or is he just maybe lost a little bit of his mojo and he's not barking the way he used to? I might say it's the latter. I mean, if they let that thing go, Khabib would have killed him. He would have left him in the ring and we would have scooped him off and he would have gone to the morgue. He could have killed him. So people see that, and you're viewed differently?
Yep.
My answer is out of bounds. I do like the UFC, but about 2 or 3 years ago, it was a lot more interesting than it is right now. It's getting to be a little boring. I'm sorry. We had Dana White on a month or so ago. Respect him. Love him. Usually like the product. It's boring right now. And Conor McGregor at that press conference was boring.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, little college hoops here. Teak, the Bruins of UCLA are the most storied program in history of college hoops. We know that. 11 titles. However, the Bruins haven't won a title since 1995 and haven't even made it past the Sweet 16 since the three straight Final Fours with Ben Hallen between 05 and 08. Mm. Last night, UCLA lost by 15 to Stanford. Falling below 500, they're 8-9. So between Carolina and the Bruins, two mighty blue bloods are very, very weak right now. And after the game, head coach Mick Cronin, formerly of Cincinnati, called out his players.
They're just clearly a better basketball team than we are. It should prove to you guys that recruiting rankings are about as important as what's in your garbage can. As the game goes on, our softness shows up. Our selfishness at times is evident on the offensive end, some of the shots we take and the turnovers, because certain guys don't want to pass the basketball. When the going gets tough, we don't have a lot of guys that get going. You know, going gets tough, we got some guys that are folding. So we lack toughness.
I don't know that we've ever gotten more honest assessments from CEOs of basketball programs than we've gotten this year between Roy Williams and,
hey man,
and Cronin.
Tell us how you really feel, man.
Wow.
Jeez.
I mean, I respect that, but that's going to turn some young players off, I think, and maybe some boosters as well. Maybe. In or out, UCLA can still be an elite college basketball program.
I'm going to say inbounds because I think anybody can rise. Like, look where Virginia was a decade ago. And look what Tony Bennett has done. Now, this year, notwithstanding, because they're struggling mightily, lost to Florida State last night. Anyway, they were supposed to lose to Florida State, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I think yes, and Mick Cronin is the right guy because they do need to institute some toughness and they need some tough players. The name UCLA will get kids interested, and I think his way of coaching in time can turn the tables, I think. But it is going to take some time. It's not going to happen overnight. I think that's what people thought was going to happen. It just doesn't work that way.
I agree. I'm a huge Mick Cronin fan. Mick Cronin's the kind of I almost look like, not very different personality, I think, but I look at Mick Cronin almost as like a Matt Rhule type of guy, like where he goes somewhere and eventually it turns around because what he deploys in terms of his characteristics are transferable anywhere.
Yeah, he wills it.
He wills it. And you're going to play defense. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've watched Cincinnati over the years, whether it was actually against St. John's or at the Garden, the Big East tournament, or on TV, when they win 52-48 or 59-53. And I mean, this is against the old Big East, the conglomerate, the Syracuses, the UConns, the Louisvilles, when Pitt was a power. I mean, this man can coach. Now, is he the right man or is he the right personality for that type? UCLA is unique in that sense. We know that. You need a little Hollywoodish, you know, you need a certain something, whatever. I don't know. If they give him time, they will become that powerhouse again. If they get a little antsy, as they usually do at UCLA, then they'll be just going, they'll go down the drain pretty soon and they'll just hit the repeat recycle button.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Axe Update is right now, and we'll see what's cooking there. Rich Ackerman, busy day in sports. Axe, take it away. What you got? Okay, stay in touch with us here on the show all the time. Tiki and Tierney, never be without us. Just find their podcast. Go to radio.com or the radio.com app, cbssportsradio.com, iTunes, or just about anywhere to get a podcast. Download, subscribe today, tomorrow. Unless something wacky happens, we'll be, you know, 80-90% football, conference championship Sunday, then the week off, and then Tiki and I are going to be going down to Miami.
That's right.
Going to Miami.
Que bonito. I'm trying to think of the words of the song. I can't remember.
It's been a while since I've actually heard that.
I haven't heard it in a long time, but I'm having it on blast.
The Heat are playing at home. I want to go to a Heat game.
Are they playing this week?
Yeah, I looked at it quickly, real fast, and I thought that there was one. I'll double check, but I think that there was one game.
Playing
while
anybody
we're there.
Good? Playing anybody good?
I thought it may have been the Bucks.
No likelihood they're going to win. They're 18-1 at home.
Ain't right going to win if it's the Bucks, though.
Then the Bucks, best team in basketball. I was listening to some like a podcast about the Milwaukee Bucks and why we don't talk about them more.
Well, you find some obscure podcasts.
I do. I listen to it. That's all I do. I listen for podcasts and
but
I find the good ones.
How do you find them?
So you know when I was doing a bunch of those college games,
yeah.
Like how the heck am I going to find out about Arkansas football?
Yeah,
like.
Yeah.
not just what I read. Like, this guy was, you know, recruited,
yep,
taught, whatever.
Like, here's the stats. But like,
it means absolutely nothing when you're watching a game trying to inform people who are listening to me what this kid is all about. Mm-hmm. So the only way to do it is to, like, listen to local podcasts.
Okay.
And so, you know, the Believe in Whatever network that
Josh
we have
Booty,
Josh Booty on and some others that we've had on.
Josh part of that. For
Exactly. So I'll find the local college Believe in Whatever.
Okay.
And it's usually just some local kids that are, you know, talking about the sport. They're talking
piped in.
They're talking about the offensive linemen, and we should have recruited this guy, and this guy needs to be playing. It just gives you good, like, intel.
Okay.
And so when you start searching around for stuff like that, you just happen upon different, like, people talking. And so there was an interesting podcast about the Milwaukee Bucks and why we don't, like, pay attention to them. And the reason we don't is because they're too good. Like,
that's the worst podcast I've ever heard. I haven't even heard the podcast.
But the point
is, they're too good.
No, not like there's nothing. There's no flaws, right?
Sure, they are. Their best player can't shoot threes or free throws.
Okay, he can't shoot free throws, but he is getting better.
He's still not good shooting threes.
And if he can't shoot a three, he just dunks on you. You know what I mean? And then the conversation becomes, well, how good is their number two? It's Chris Middleton. How good is he? I mean, it almost doesn't matter.
So they're not interesting.
They're just not interesting. Yeah, not that they're like. They're the best team in basketball, right?
Well, they're the best team in the East. I don't think they're the best team in basketball.
Record and rating. Number one offense, number two defense, number two net rating, or number one net rating. So statistically, record-wise, MVP-wise, mm-hmm. they're like the best. And then more importantly,
Clippers are better.
Maybe when Clippers get full strength, mm-hmm. stop messing around and stop taking, you know, maintenance days.
Gotta get healthy.
And chilling out.
Gotta
do
be
whatever,
right for April, May, and June.
And not getting their cohesion together in time for when it really matters. I'm just saying, you gotta watch that with the Clippers. But there's no controversy.
Uh-huh.
Like, Giannis is not, like, controversial.
Yeah, he's a low-maintenance superstar.
There's nothing that we're talking about. It's like, is he going to stay in Milwaukee?
That'll come this summer.
Of course, but think about how we were talking about this, like, in week, like, eight with Kyrie.
And Anthony Davis.
And Kawhi, everything usually pushes into the early part. With the Bucks, it's just kind of like,
we'll
deal with it when it happens, not like, we got to deal with this right now.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. Like, they fly below the radar because they're too good and they're not controversial. Hmm. And I was like, you know what? You're kind of right.
I can see that.
There's nothing argumentative to scream about with them.
I can see that a little bit. I don't know if this is a perfect comparison, but we got a little bit of that this year with the 13-3 Packers, even though Rodgers is on the team.
That's a good, great point.
It's the
same
city.
Great comparison.
Because, like, you know, they ran the ball very well. Rodgers made some, you know, Hall of Fame throws the other day out of the two to seal it, obviously. But, you know, low touchdowns, mm-hmm. lot of games, five games or six games below 200 yards or 210 yards, two or three games below 200 yards. Yeah, they won 13 games, but they didn't really captivate us.
Yep. So they didn't blow anybody out. It wasn't like Aaron Rodgers had a 500-yard day and six touchdowns. And I mean, it's Milwaukee, so it's a smaller market. And so the news that comes out of there isn't necessarily controversial. It's just when the national media jumps in. Even national media doesn't have anything, like, controversial to talk about.
As much as they probably try.
You're right. What is controversial, and I think we'll hit this heavily tomorrow when Trevor Bauer is in studio, is the Astros and the sign-stealing controversy. Now, it's got some depth to it, obviously.
Philadelphia, I'm sorry, is in Miami.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Philadelphia.
Oh, dude.
And then it's odd because they play at Orlando Saturday, and then during the week they play the Sixers at home, and then they go on a five or six, one, two, three. Seven-game roadie, so they just squeeze in the one game during Super Bowl week. It is
probably like
Tuesday. It's actually the day before we get there.
It's Tuesday.
It's Monday night.
Of course.
It's Monday. Oh, you're coming in Wednesday.
I'm coming in Wednesday.
Of course it is. Yeah, so
I mean, it's smart, though, to be honest with you. In Miami, it's smart for them to schedule that way because...
You think because it's too small?
It'd be chaos.
But, yeah, I mean... But
it'd be
they
great.
They usually try to do that
They
where,
do, but...
Because you went to the Warriors game a couple of years ago, Super Bowl 50,
which was
when
awesome.
We were out there.
But think how far removed...
Yeah, no, I got you. Logistically, it's different.
The East Bay is from San Francisco.
For sure.
But anyway, so the big controversy in baseball right now is the Astros and the sign stealing. And Trevor Bauer is going to be in studio with us tomorrow, formerly of the Indians. And he has doubled down mm-hmm. on his claim that Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman had some electronic device on in his jersey or underneath his jersey. So when you go back to the ALCS, in the ninth inning in October against the Yankees, when Altuve crushed that home run in game six.
Walk off, Chapman.
He comes around third base. He's like imploring his teammates, you know, don't take my shirt off. Like, don't stop. Mm-hmm. Like, stop. He's basically holding on to his shirt.
Yeah.
And he was asked afterwards by Ken Rosenthal.
Yes, he was. I saw this.
Why he didn't.
We have the audio?
And here's his response. No, we don't have it. We don't have the audio. Oh, so the response, basically, he said he got in trouble with his wife.
He did it before. It was an uncomfortable laugh.
Yes.
He's like, oh, I got you. And then Kenny, first he said, what was that? And then Ken asked him again.
Yes.
I was watching that a couple hours ago. And it's funny how all this stuff resurfaces now.
You're right.
Everybody takes it up.
It makes sense, though.
Because, yeah, I know it does.
So who was the picture that they were showing? Was that Bregman that had the...
No, that was Josh Reddick.
So Josh Reddick had something look like an electronic device on his skin. Who knows what it may be. My question for you, how does that help you, right? Like, can you actually, like, you feel it, but can you register it in time?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To know what's coming. Because a lot of these home runs that they would hit, they were always timely. Always. Always. All of them. Bregman, all of them. It's almost like you're getting a fastball. It's going to be here.
Yep.
Just got to get the swing plane correct, and it's going out of the ballpark.
Yeah. I mean, now, it's got to be a flawless... which is to their credit, but also, you know, just further illustrates just how deeply rooted and dark this, or below board, but more so than dark, this scheme was, this elaborate scheme that the Astros hatched, and others. And we'll see what happens with the Red Sox when we, you know, obviously Cora's gone, but I want to find out what happens to them as a team. The ability to discern, I mean, if I'm in the batter's box and Shaq has these on the market, like those things you put on your lower back, and it's kind of like ultrasound.
Yeah, yeah.
That you used to get, like the electric stimulation if you pulled your quad or something in the trainer's room. They come in little tiny patches.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I actually have one. I'm not going to pull it because I'm not wearing a shirt under here. I actually have one on my chest for when I thought I ripped something at the gym the other day. So I have that patch. So hopefully it heals. But the point is, somebody like Reddick, whomever's in the batter's box, if you're up there... fastball, or whatever however they decode it. It is so easy in real time because you don't have to listen for it, which could get drowned out by 50,000 lunatics getting ready to either win or lose, but you're going to feel the reverberation on your body. And as long as there's like a distinct separation between buzzes, so it's not just going to go because then you might, what was that, two? Was that three? As long as if one is a fastball and it's, that's easy. If it's an off speed and it's zzz, zzz, how do you miss that?
Yeah, you can't.
You know it.
No, of course you do.
Teak, the more I think about this, and immediately I said from day one, there is no way you can vacate the championships. I don't know.
If this gets proven.
What do we have to prove about it? You see how Jose Altuve, don't take off my shirt. How do you prove it?
How do you not prove it,
Yeah. Trevor Bauer is going to be a great spot tomorrow. And I know that they still won't do that because that's a slippery slope.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I said this team behind me, the hat fell, the Yankees, our team, champions. Nobody had more steroid abusers than the Yankees.
Yep.
Scott, I've got to be fair about this.
Scott Boras, who is Jose Altuve's agent, was contacted by a lot of people. But he put out this statement because Jose Altuve contacted him immediately and issued this statement. I have never worn an electronic device in my performance as a Major League Baseball player. Boras goes on to say that it's the shyness of Jose Altuve. That's why he did not want his shirt ripped off.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm sorry. Just based on generally of the school, take somebody for his word.
Yeah, me too.
But that video, because it says a lot. It's incriminating.
Video
now, if
says
it's ever
a lot.
Proven otherwise, how do you prove it? Do you have a picture of him actually putting it on? Who knows? But if it ever was proven that he's lying,
yeah.
I mean, that is, it's worse than steroids. I'll tell you why. Because at least if I'm hopped up on roids or HGH, during the era in which everybody was consuming them, or a lot of people were, not everybody, a lot of people were, there was a chance that the gentleman 60 feet, 6 inches away from me had something in his body that was not authentic as well. Did the other pitchers have buzzers on?
Mm.
That is such... You want to talk about a level playing field in terms of cheating?
Yeah.
There's no comparison between the two.
Yeah, there's another video of all of the Astros changing into their World Series shirts on the field. Jose Altuve runs into the dugout, puts his shirt on.
Oh, he's just really shy, painfully shy. Come on.
We're not idiots.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news... you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.